Welcome to the R7 Christian Marketing Podcast, sponsored by Emma's Good.
R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my
destiny. Welcome back to the podcast. Got two unbelievable guests, but really, Joe, you're not a guest anymore. You're the co-host of the show. So, you know, you got to get off the guest dialogue. My co-host, awesome Joe Schmidt, and I'm bringing in none other than Elijah Mayo from Rumble. So welcome.
How's it going?
So today we're going to be talking about messaging that doesn't suck. And so I think having you in on the podcast, Elijah's awesome because you see this every day going, oh my gosh, we can't run that. That's never going to work.
Every day.
Yeah. And Joe, I would love for you to kick off with your Megan story.
So Elijah, tell us what you do.
So I work with, you
know,
like,
we don't know each other. I know you and Dave do.
Yeah. Dave and I go back. And we, you know, it's, I've been in the industry for a long time, primarily working with creators and then brands and just making the marriage happen between the two and finding out what is important to the brand, but then also like what's important for the creator and bringing the two together so that they can do great work together. You know, everything works and we make ads that don't suck. And, you know, it's like, I mean, we see it every single day and it's funny. It's, you have to make each one unique. And so I've done that for a long time. I've worked with some of the big companies in the industry, but then I've also been an ad agency for the past 8 to 10 years. And it started out as an ad agency and then it kind of became like a creator's agency. And I've done that for a long time, which is really what brought me to Rumble. And now I work with some of the top creators with Rumble, like Steven Crowder, Tim Pool, Devory Darkins, Redacted, like there's about 30 or 40 creators I work with. And so it's just, that's really what I do now. It's just helping make that happen. And there's a lot that goes into it, you know, and just, it's not just handing a script over and say, read this script. It's like, find out what's important to the company and then what's important for the creator. And then kind of, you know, putting it together to where they can make it something that they can turn into a conversation, but also relate to. So anyway, that's what I do. There's not a lot of us out there that really take that deep dive into making those partnerships happen, but that's what I try to do. And it does, I try to say that I tried to do a good job and I think it works. So.
Well, and so it's been, when I came out of grad school back in the early 1900s, I spent time in the agency world. So I don't know if it works the way that it used to work, but that sounds like a combination of, they used to call it account strategy versus account management. Cause I was in AE, doing account management stuff. And then we had our strategy team, but they were different than the creatives. And it sounds like it might be the way you approach it is kind of all inclusive.
And I mean, there's plenty of people that are just like AEs and, you know, they just, you know, push spots. And I think we used in radio terms, like, sounds like you worked in radio world, spots and dots. Like that's what we do. Like go out there and try to sell. But working on the creator level, it's like, it's going a step deeper and finding out what's important to them. And then, you know, helping pull it all together. It's like, I'll give you an example. One of the creators I work with is Graham Allen. And I worked with him independently for about 5 years. And then he and I came to Rumble together, actually. Like we brought the all of Graham Allen underneath the Rumble platform and his social and all that kind of stuff. But I'd say it's probably about 3 years ago at this point, maybe three and a half, is when the Silicon Valley banks were crashing.
Yep.
And Birch Gold had been a client with Graham forever. And I remember exactly where I was at. We were driving on I-10 through Louisiana And we'd just gone through Baton Rouge, and I'm like kind of seeing all this stuff hit social media about Silicon Valley. And it was a Sunday evening, and social was a part of the strategy that we had. And I remember I called Graham up and I'm like, go hard on social right now, like for Birch Gold. Like, this is the prime time to do it. Like, you got to catch this wave. And so he did. He went live on Facebook, and like, they didn't ask us to do this. We just did it. And so he went live on Facebook and said, guys, like, this is why we've been talking about Birch Gold for the past like 4 years. And, you know, we bring partners on because we truly value like you as our audience. And we want to bring you people that, and bring you advertisers that bring you value. And this is a perfect example of why I promote Birch Gold. Birch Gold like called me 10 minutes later and they're like, what the crap did Graham do? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, they're like, we got so many leads, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And he hit his like 3 month lead count with that social media post. This isn't just something that we said, hey, what can we do? It was a relationship that we had with an advertiser. And it was like, how do we do things that are awesome and constantly, we know what you need, but we also know what's going on in the world. And we know what's going on with the world. We know the creator, we know the news cycles, and we try to be out there on a surfboard to catch the waves when we can. Every time, we want to have like good creative that gets us on base every single time. But if we can just like knock it out of the park and hit a grand slam, like, we just want to be prepped and ready to do it. So in a nutshell, that's kind of like gives you an example of
how
I try to position myself.
That's interesting. So I am not a liberal, but I'm not a conservative. So most of your references, I'm not going to know. So I just looked up Graham Allen, who seems like a pretty famous person. But the one in the middle that you were saying, you were talking about, who was the entity who was the leads?
It was Birch Gold. It was Birch Gold Group.
What does Birch Gold do?
So they sell gold and like physical gold or gold IRAs.
Gotcha. And that was one of his advertisers.
Correct. Yes.
Got it. Sorry. I'm just clarifying for the listening audience who is clueless like I am. I'm not
exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, Dave's like, uh-huh. Yeah. 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 I'm like, I don't know. So, you know, it's funny you said ride the wave. I mean, we used to talk about that all the time, and I feel like that's been my entire career. My entire career was, what do they say? You know, luck is preparation meeting opportunity or something like that. And I do. I feel like that, you know, when you have, and what you're describing is, you know, relational messaging. You know, it's just a team that's ready and willing to take risks and then listening to the market for when the market wants something. I feel like so often we try to shove stuff at the market and we just decide, you know, money's going to win. And the reality is that you can get a lot done if you're just smart and ride the waves when they come. thank you for that example. The, what Dave's referring to is actually kind of on the same topic, but more pointed, really trying to understand, because I feel like so much bad advertising and bad marketing that exists out there is when you just don't know who your audience is. And you might know exactly what you want to happen. Like, I feel like that's not the problem. The problem is typically, because I mean, usually it's sales. I want to sell something. I want to create a lead. I want to create demand. I want to create something. And so the outcome is usually pretty clear, but you know, who are we actually talking to and does the message fit it? I saw an ad. I was just on a hunting trip with my buddies and we were all sitting watching football in between hunts. And they put an ad up for, what is that? What is it's a, Celsius.
Yeah.
The drink Celsius.
Energy drink. Yeah.
That's right. So It's an ad for Celsius, and they had guys throwing it in their Yeti to take it on the bass boat. And like all of us were sitting there, and we're all bass fishermen, and we're all sitting there watching this ad. And these are not advertising marketing guys. These are my boys. And we're sitting there just trying to watch a football game, but it was so stupid that we would be drinking Celsius's while we were bass fishing that like all of us looked at each other and we're like, what in the hell is that? And in fact, it made us, I've never had a Celsius, but it made us all hate Celsius. And it would have been fine if they, I don't know who drinks it.
They're pretty good, actually. I like
them. Yeah, they are pretty good.
I see them in my fridge, and yeah. I think my kids like them. But, you know, it was just really weird where a Bud Light should be or a Budweiser or whatever should be sitting in a cooler they had. Anyway, maybe they're trying to change their market. But so knowing who your customer is, we'd started a business where you'd take people's photographs. You could – back then, you – the internet wasn't good enough, but you would send us your pictures. We would scan them and print them on canvas and stretch them and turn them into pieces of artwork. And we were one of the first companies to really do that. Now it's kind of a commodity. People get stuff put on canvas all the time and hung in their homes. But we didn't really understand our product until we had a rep who was our FedEx rep. And her name was Megan. And Megan believed in us before we believed in us. She thought this was going to work. And we were being very successful in making it not work. But Megan came in one day, and we had made some canvases for her. And she came in and picked them up. And my business partner had pulled into the parking lot, and Megan was sitting in her car after picking up some canvases. I was in the office. And my business partner got out, and Megan was sitting in the front seat of her car, and she was weeping. And so, and we love Megan. Megan, and plus she brought us donuts all the time. So we didn't have money to buy donuts. So he ran up to the door and knocked on the window, and Megan rolled the window down, and he said, are you okay? And she said, yes, I'm just taking a minute. And he said, okay. And she's got a canvas sitting on her lap that we had made her. It was like a 16 by 20 canvas. And it was a picture of her girls. She had two daughters, and they were horseback riding. And she started to tell Tom about that day with her girls riding horses. And her girls were older now, but like she was telling them about everything about that day in between, you know, gasps of air, because she was so emotional. And he came into the office and he grabbed me and he said, we got to talk now, and drug me into his office and shut the door. And he said, dude, we have got to find our Megans. He said, the whole purpose of this company is to make what just happened in our parking lot happen to millions of people at home.
Yeah.
And he kind of unpacked the story for us. And from that moment on, I've coached on this, I've taught on it, and it's a chapter in a book that I wrote, which is called Find Your Megan. And for us, that was really the first moment that we figured out if we were going to be out there trying to communicate this product to people, the way to communicate it and the way that we needed to deliver it was to think of every single customer as being Megan. And where can we find Megans? Where can we, what should we be, how should we speak to them? Like we're not, at that moment, we decided we were never going to have an IVR. We were never going to have a bot answer a phone and say, press one for customer, you know, press one if you're crying about your canvas and want to thank someone. And so, you know, we were first pick up on every phone call going forward for the next 8 years of running the business. So anyway, I feel like, you know, finding that audience early on and figuring out who they are and where we should be speaking to them. So I'll flip that around to a question, Elijah. For you right now, do you feel like clients are, Do you feel like they get it now? I mean, we've got so many channels. I mean, there's just so much to go waste your money on. Yeah. That, you know, are we getting better at figuring out who we should be talking to and where we should be talking to them?
I think it depends. And I think that it also depends on who's the marketing person. Like, you know, there's, and I find that, you know, I find that to be the common denominator in when you're approaching a brand or you're talking to a brand, like, do they get it or not? And, you know, typically I love working with like $5 million to $50 million businesses. I just love it because I feel like I can make massive impact. And then it's like, once they get over 50 million, it's like, then they have an entire marketing team and, you know, those marketing teams are good, but you're kind of just like doing what they tell you to do. And a lot of times it ends up working really well because they got a great team. But
when, yeah, that entrepreneurial nimble nature, it's my sweet spot too. I've been in the bigger ones and plus it's just not as much fun.
It's not as much fun. Yeah. It's like when I have fun personally when you make a massive impact and when you can like sit there and have a conversation with somebody, it's like, you know, the business owner like typically has a vision for their company and they can buy into that. You know, if it's somebody straight out of grad school and they just like had a marketing degree and they got a job, like no disrespect to them. I'm sure they're very intelligent, but a lot of times they don't understand that it's different selling pizzas versus air conditioners or, you know, or whatever you fill in the blank. You know, every product is specific to itself and you have to find the Megan and like, why does somebody want to buy this? Why does somebody want to buy from you online? It's like, it's different from, and like direct response marketing is completely different from like in person, like walking in a business. Like if you have a brick and mortar that is on a good highway, like, you know, that's half the battle right there. Maybe more than half the battle. But if you, you know, if you're an e-commerce company and you're trying to have like, what is your story and why should somebody buy from you? And so I think that some people are getting it and those succeed and the ones and they continue to succeed. And then there's some that just don't and they continue to try and you know, I hope they do find their Megan. I'll give you two examples. And I know that there's a lot of other examples. I do have, and I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but I have it sitting here on my desk. My side hustle is I have a coffee business myself. It's called First Cup. And so we have brick and mortar stores. We have like three of them, but we also sell online. And so we have great storefronts. But I knew online would be different. And so it's like, how do we sell this product online? Everybody's selling coffee. It's easy to sell coffee. You can kind of like create a brand around a vertical or something. You know, if you're a Republican, you can have like Trump coffee. If you're not, you can have Biden coffee, you know, and try to pander to an audience. But we wanted something that was like evergreen, that could last. And so what we did is we the name of it's First Cup, but every one of our roasts is named after a first piece of history in America. And so this is our signature roast, which was the John Hancock. So we got a little creative there. And so it's after a first piece of history. But and then we kind of give a description on the back of the bag. And so we have 11 different roasts to choose from. And that was kind of like, it kind of gave us a story to tell online that was authentic to who we are. Like we took the decor of our stores is very Americano. And so it's very on brand. So everything was very on brand, but it gave us a story to talk about who we are online. But it was, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like it's still a very competitive category. And one thing that it's been kind of a journey of figuring out exactly how do we communicate who we are, like, and this is where it's hard to see yourself. Like for me, it was like, it's hard to see yourself, but it's easy. It's kind of easy. Like when you're talking to a business owner, like, what is it? Like I'm having a dialogue with a business owner. I'm talking to Dave about a client and like, we're strategizing, coming up with ideas. Like, how do we like bring this brand to life and hit the things that actually will strike a nerve in someone that's listening. And so what we this is I'll summarize this story, but we kind of accidentally came across something a few weeks ago. Right after the Charlie Kirk assassination, we wanted to do something here at the coffee shop for the community. And so we did a visual, brought the community out, had a prayer and worship night in the front parking lot. And it was amazing. Like there was hundreds and hundreds of people out here. And it was in that moment that I was like, we need to do this for our online community as well too. And, in every box, we've always sent a thank you card and we've put a scripture in there and it says, and we say like our prayer for you. And we change that scripture out every single month. And so, but what we did, and it was like in that moment where we had all these people here on site and we had that prayer and worship night, we changed that to a question. It says, how can we pray for you? And we hired a prayer staff that is going to pray. Like, so people, so we had stickers made. And we had stickers made that people can put on their coffee makers, and it says, how can we pray for you today? And so we sent them a note, said, here's a QR code you can send, but here's also a sticker that you can put on your coffee pot. And every day you can scan that and submit your prayer request, and somebody's going to pray for you and respond. And it's not like, hey, if we don't get one extra subscriber from it, like we're not doing it to like get subscribers or get people to buy our coffee. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, mm-hmm. This is actually what we're doing already. We're doing this in our store that people come to the Lord every single day in our coffee shops. And now we're just going to extend that online. And so it was kind of like one of those amazing moments that I had personally as a business owner, in addition to what I do at Rumble. It's like, hey, we just need to be authentic. And I think that at the end of the day, like that's what people that want to purchase, they're looking for brands that are authentic and that they can connect with. And like, there's a reason why they want to do business with them.
Yeah. This is awesome because I think, you know, if we peel back the onion a little bit on Megan, at least what I remember from the story, Joe, it absolutely catapulted your business.
Oh yeah.
Because you understood who you were talking to. And then everything coming out of that was designed for that. Same thing with what you're talking about with First Cup, Elijah Lake. When you understand who you're talking to, you can create a VIP experience for them and they will love you for it. Right. I think in the Christian marketing space, you know, we always, at least when I've heard for the last 20 years, is the gospel's for everybody. Yeah, but who is attending this? You know, and usually in the Christian space, it's like 65% women, you know, 35% men, and it's older women. Yet the executives a lot of times have a hard time just talking to women that are over 40. And you're going to say, well, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about your marketing is for everybody, you're talking to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the other thing, so the two commonalities of Megan and now your prayer request concept, which, man, Dave, I know that you've got some stuff for us to do. I've got so much to unpack about Elijah's bit right there. So one is the two commonalities are what I call opportunistic marketing, right? And I define myself as being an opportunistic entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a brilliant idea in my life. I would love to say that I have. Like I've had some good ones, and most of them that I thought were really good ideas, I think they were good ideas, but they weren't good businesses. But they were cute, you know. But what I've done is I've kept my eyes open, kept my ears open, and never assumed that I was right with mm-hmm. what I was currently doing. Elijah, you went to that event and you realized at that event something whispered to you mm-hmm. to go try something. And you're nimble enough that you could go try it.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of that, and same with us and Megan. I mean, Tom was just pulling in the parking lot and went over to talk to one of our friends who seemed upset. Like he wasn't expecting he was going to get a marketing channel out of it or we call it find your muse. But the other part that I think is so important about if you want to be a faith-based entrepreneur, and Dave, you know me well enough that I'm okay with whatever faith.
Yeah.
We're talking about Christianity, but if you want to be a faith-based entrepreneur where your beliefs and your whatever it is that you hold important to be part of your business, then you need to figure out how to be incredibly creative to do well when you're doing good, to do good when you're doing well, either way. Mm-hmm. So like, Elijah, I appreciate that you said, you know, it's okay if we don't get another subscription out of this, but you know, screw that. Like, let's figure. So, I mean, the idea of praying for people and getting more subscriptions, that's freaking great. And I think God would look at that and say, damn, Elijah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Like that's why I built you the way that I built you. And for us, we did the same thing. We actually put my mother in a van and we sent my mom, this was before podcasting existed. We sent my mom all over the country to give free canvases to the spouses of men and women who were serving overseas on their anniversary.
That's so cool. Wow.
It was literally this came from this random thing that I did on a morning show where I took a canvas to the wife of a guy who was serving overseas on Father's Day. And it was, his kids were in the room and whatever. And so they opened up the canvas. Like I took it to him. It was in Connecticut or something. And it was on a morning show. And then what I didn't expect was that the TV station had brought him in from the roof of Baghdad.
Oh my gosh.
And so he actually got to meet with his family on Father's Day live on TV.
That was so awesome.
I was like, holy shit, what is going on? And like, I was just trying to sell more canvases, but we turned it into what we called Operation High Honey. And Operation High Honey, we would, if you served overseas, you could submit a photograph and we would make a canvas and send it to your spouse. But then we built an entire marketing undertone out of it.
Mm.
And if you wanted, we would then share your story online. And we ended up doing $10 million worth of canvases. I mean,
wow.
Thousands. I mean, thousands. It was, I don't even remember what the number was, but it was like 40, 50,000 canvases for men and women who were serving overseas. But we literally knew our ROI.
Mm.
Like every dollar, we had a $4 ROI. We had a 4-to-1 ROI on this thing, which was more than break even for us. And we ran it for 6 years until we sold the company and then they shut it down. But my point is, and that was just us listening, being thoughtful, using our gifts to be creative and try something. And then once we saw it work, man, we beat the crap out of that thing.
Yeah.
Because we could. I mean, we could because it was just two of us who owned it. So we didn't have to go to a board and get it all approved and prove, you know, model the ROI. We just started doing it and it worked. I'm hearing the same thing with the prayer stuff. Like,
were you ever concerned that there weren't enough Megans out there?
No, because I mean, I think for us, it was a matter of, once we recognized Megan, we sent a survey out to our customers to ask them, this is my idea. it actually worked, but we sent a survey, asked how many of them cried when they opened their canvas.
Oh, that's cool.
We literally asked them that question, which I thought was going to be really stupid, but it was like 14%.
Wow.
Like, yeah, seriously. And we started getting phone calls from people that were calling our customer service line to say, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, okay. If that happens, you have to figure out why. And then you have to go call them and talk to those customers and understand what made them pick up the telephone and call a company and talk to you about something that didn't piss them off.
Yeah. Because
there's a nugget in there that's where the good stuff is, mm-hmm. you know? And folks just don't think to do it. I don't know.
For the first cup thing, it was such an aha moment because it's like, hey, this is what we do in our store every single day. Why can't we do it to the people that are online? Like, this is
absolutely
authentic. It was authentic. It's authentic to who we are. It's like, we're already doing it. Just let's just scale it. And so that was, it's like, why haven't we done this yet? Like, everybody needs prayer. I need prayer. And it's like, we're not selling prayer, but it's like, hey, this is where our ministry and our calling can align. Like, and this is like where the workplace and ministry, like if we're, you know, we're talking about Christian, being a Christian, you know, Christian marketing agency or in Christian marketing, it's like, but as a Christian business owner, I do believe that, you know, we can use our businesses to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and love on people or pray for people. And so, I want to step into every opportunity that God puts me in the position for. And how can I do that to the best of my ability? How can I be kingdom minded and kingdom focused with, you know, I'm at the end of the day, I'm just a steward of what God puts in my hands. And so, you know, just to, you know, kind of go spiritual there for a second, like that's something that I just see as a fantastic opportunity where I truly, genuinely am not cared about, like, does this help us ROI? Like, I'm just going to do this because I feel like we're supposed to do it. But in turn, I do believe God's going to bless it. And so, you know, just, but like what you did with the canvases, like that's, you know, that is a, it's a great opportunity. And at the end of the day, it's like, my favorite marketing book in the world is Building a Story Brand. And, you know, it's like, why should someone, you know, buy from me? Like, you know, do they have to burn calories to figure out what I do? Like, oh, that speaks to me and I want to be a part of that. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I think that that's what every brand needs to do. And it's like, if you have to jump through hoops to figure out like what it is that they sell or how to buy, it's like, that's what kills brands.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. So Elijah, because Elijah just got holy roller on us there for a second, yeah. which I like Elijah, and he dropped a bunch of Christian words, stewardship, yeah, and things like that, and you know, in some of the other, Dave and I, this is our third episode, and one of the reasons why I think that Christian marketing people, Christian entrepreneurs, suck, is because Elijah, you're actually smart and you understand marketing. And I'm not saying that you're not saying what you believe, but when you talk about, I'm a steward of what I do and, you know, God's going to bless it and things like that, I'm afraid that a lot of people who jump into business who are Christians, that's all they got.
Oh, you're 100% right.
Right. Where they're like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to sell coffee to people at Starbucks because I'm going to talk to them about Jesus while I'm there. And Jesus is just going to make it so that those people don't like that nasty Starbucks coffee and they're going to take my coffee, where it's like, you know, nah, you know, probably don't go to a coffee place to sell coffee. That wouldn't be smart. But no,
it's named Hebrews too. You're like,
yeah. Exactly. That's right.
Yeah, I was gonna add to that and say, you know, I think the master's more like PhD level of understanding who you are in Christ is really comes through the fruits of the Spirit. You know, you don't have to be overly Christian and open up your Bible and go to the Scripture, man. If you're practicing love, peace, patience, self-control, putting on a VIP experience for your client, your donor, your first time guest, whoever that is, you know, that to me is the love of Christ. You know, it's the Ephesians 6, when you're putting on the armor of God and you're going out there and you're doing everything possible to exude excellence. Right. And oh, by the way, this guy or gal is a Christian. Like,
yeah,
that is like the next level, right?
You know, it's like there was, you know, if you walked in our store, like, nobody would know that this is a Christian-owned business. Like, this, yeah, it very much stands on its own. And then once you're in, it's like, hey, something feels different here. But like, we don't have any scriptures on the wall, like none of that stuff. But I never wanted to do that. I never wanted it to be like in your face. I just wanted to be, you know, come through like our staff, the culture, mm-hmm. and and who we are as people. And, you know, we actually took over one of the locations we took over was for a previous company, and they, I mean, they had scriptures everywhere. And, you know, and then come to find out, like, they got evicted because they didn't pay rent, and and there was a person, one of them went to jail, and it's like they had Jesus everywhere, but they were actually like not good Christians, you know? And, and I was like, I'm determined to like not be that. Like, I would rather like never say anything and let people know and let it, let them see it on their own. And so like we've been in that location for right at a year now. And like, we didn't spend $1 on marketing, you know, nothing. We're just like, we're just going to be here and prove who we are. And then we'll lean into, you know, the Christianity side of it. It's like, I want to prove to you that we are who we say we are, which goes back to full circle what I said at the beginning, like, whatever you are, just be authentic. And, you know, you don't have to be a, you know, you don't have to be a Christian owned business. You just, but whatever business that you're in. And then even on the creator side, like, creators that work the best are authentic to who they are. One creator I work with, and I've worked with him for a long time, he never did ads before, like, he and I started working together. His name is Buddy Brown. He's on YouTube. And he's like, I've never worked with a creator that works better than Buddy. And all he does is he takes his iPhone and he goes out on his side-by-side in his backyard or on his land in Mississippi, cuts a 5 to 8 minute video and uploads it himself. And there is nobody that I have ever worked with in the past 15 years of doing this that works better than he does. And it's just because he's authentic to who he is. And so it goes, and people can sniff out, you know, somebody that's fake. And, and so it's just, you know, authenticity and being real and make, having impact and being able to speak without like, hey, I got to say this, or I got to hit this, or I like, you know, it's just the way to live, and it's the way to do marketing, and it's the way to the best brands and the ones that grow are the ones that can be true to who they are.
Yeah. Okay. I want to set up this next section of the podcast, and this is at M is Good. We look at different ads every week. We ask to actually subscribe to different ad platforms that give us like really super creative ads. And, you know, I just believe that, you know, back to the spirituality side of thing, that God is the ultimate creator and is incredibly creative. And so when we have this linear messaging, like some of my favorite linear messaging is, you know, just saying exactly what you do, boring ads, right? Like if the church were to do a linear ad, it would be something like, hey, I'm Pastor Jones and we have church on Sunday. Come out and worship with us at 9 and 11. You know, it just doesn't work. There's a reason why Geico uses a gecko. By the way, you know, Geico is a government employee insurance company, right? And they use a gecko to say Geico. And, you know, and they spend hundreds of millions of dollars with fun, creative ads. And so this is a start in the direction of fun, creative ads. Let me share a screen here. One second.
The anticipation.
All right. Can y'all see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the Guatemalan lottery.
You just don't never know.
Don't rub for luck. Scratch. Oh my gosh. Awesome creative. Here's another one.
I'm just really concerned how buffed, how polished these areas are.
Right? That's what I was thinking too. Like, it took
I mean,
me a
like
second
everybody's to... been rubbing.
Hey, well, this is a Christian awesome podcast. What are we doing here?
Yeah. This is incredibly creative messaging here. Here's another one. Don't rub for luck, scratch. I mean, way to get their attention, right? It's awesome. Here's something from David Ogilvy. When I write an advertisement, I don't want you to find it creative. I want you to find it so interesting that you buy the product. I think we just talked about that.
Yeah, it's so good.
Here's a cool one from Eurostar. Time flies when you don't. So a little background on Eurostar. These are really super fast trains in Europe, right? And I love the logo too. It's kind of a stretched out leg. It's awesome. this to me, all these ads are just so incredibly simple. We get so many complaints from your neighbors. Like the messaging, the word count, the simplicity. Any thoughts here, Joe?
Well, I mean, this is all just taken back to Ogilvy and B&O and the, you know, the ad agencies, the ad guys in the Mad Men era. You know, mm-hmm. when they first started figuring it out, I mean, first of all, it was like, you know, they couldn't do much even in print. Like, so those guys started figuring out how to do simple better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And this is totally out of their playbook. And it's smart copy. You know, we say so many words in ads now.
Yeah, you know, I feel like if the word count honestly is over 13, you've missed it.
Right. I mean,
just great imagery. You can make these GIF ads. Like, just take two after work.
Yep.
This one's awesome too. At last, Etta James, life's better with the soundtrack. Like the emotion, the expression, like this is well done by Spotify to me.
Yeah, it's good.
FOMO erectus. Don't miss out and explore 7 million years of human evolution.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that great?
Is that literally the Natural History Museum?
Yes.
Could you imagine, Elijah, the approval process they had to go through for that thing?
Oh, it's the worst. Like, yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe that an NGO, that they were able to pull that off. But I mean, yeah. You want to talk about, and it's looking like it was a Subway ad, at least here.
Yeah, it's on a wall somewhere.
I mean, trying to cut through clutter.
Right?
Yeah, it's gold.
Yeah, it's smart. Somebody saw that word and they're like, dude, seriously?
Yep.
You hit a good point. Like, you know, you have to be able to be a little edgy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and you can't be afraid of it. You've got to lean into it. Otherwise, you'll just disappear. It's like,
yeah.
You know, you have to give people something to talk about and to remember. And it's like, you know, if you walk into a room, you know, is somebody going to remember you and you walk out? Are they going to remember, mm-hmm. like, you know, and I mean, it has to, if in a commercial break, if it's on radio, if it's on TV, it's like, or on podcast or anywhere for that matter, is somebody going to remember it? And that's the whole point in all of this is can you be remembered? You're paying for this moment to be remembered. You can't mess it up.
Yeah.
Mess it up. Like, otherwise you just like wasted the money.
Joseph Gills, door handles are the handshakes of the building. Make sure it's a good one. I don't even like this picture of it. It just still works.
No, that's that right there. That is a baller copywriter is what
right
there. It's funny because like the team, the art director, meh,
right.
You know,
totally botched it.
Yeah. They got to switch this team up. Cause that writer has got skills,
right?
That's good.
All right. This is good. Censorship tells the wrong story. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it just shows like how creative you can be if you kind of explore creativity. All right, this is actually a GIF ad. iPhone 17 in a mouse case, and the guy, the next scene on the video is him throwing the phone overboard, and then he goes.
Wow,
it's brilliant.
Wow,
yeah, that's cool.
The problem with logic is it kills imagination. Okay, it's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I've seen
that's that. Good.
Yeah, unfriending long before social media. And so this is a BIC ad.
So good.
So built in the idea that the BIC works, right? And you're unfriending. Like, it's just so creative, man. Okay, this is done by the Mormons. This has been around for years. Don't make me come down there, God.
Yeah.
Have you seen this before, Joe?
Oh, yeah. It's still, yeah. I still like it. I still think.
Dolly Parton wrote a song on this, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. She did. No, I do. I do still like it.
And then, He Gets Us, had some really cool creative, I thought creative. I think, Joe, you have a little bit more of a backstory on this. So this is done in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went all in too. Like, talk about capturing the moment, Elijah. Like, hello. Yeah. I first saw this 2 years ago, the He Gets Us guys. It was actually at a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball game. And at the seventh inning stretch, they had a they had this type of ad out there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what is this? And I found out that year that they sponsored all seven inning stretches across all Major League Baseball. And it was a $100 million campaign.
This is incredible.
Yeah. So we're talking about Christian, you know, marketing. Sometimes it's pretty lame. But, you know, I think He Gets Us has, you know, definitely amped it up the last couple years. Here's another good one. Jesus was fed up with politics, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all, you know, I don't know if you know the story about there, but, you know, Jesus didn't like, you know, making money in the temple. He turned over the tables.
Yeah.
And then there's a video here, super emotional video. I won't play it, but yeah. If you're watching, you can go and I'll include the links in the description, but there's some really good videos on He Gets Us. And I think if you're an organizational leader out there, you know, whether you're the COO or V or, you know, VP or whatever, you know, and you have a marketing team, like getting extremely creative with your messaging, you know, and getting that word count down and just supporting it with great visuals. And I think, you know, what we talked about today too, about, you know, understanding your persona and who you're talking to with great messaging. That's the power of thank you in my mind. When you really, truly understand who you're talking to and can deliver a great messaging. Like your example, Joe, earlier about you guys are, you know, on Bass Boats and Celsius, like they missed it. Like, yeah. To me, they missed it, right?
I have an example. This is where, you know, it's like sometimes I help with the creative process just with ideas like, hey, what if we did this? And so I'm not a cigar guy. I've never spoke to my life, but I was talking to a cigar company. They're wanting to promote with Steven Crowder, who loves cigars. And he's huge. That's his thing. Well, if you know, like the, like YouTube, you can't promote cigars on YouTube, like where you connect a link to it and takes it to a website, you know, where they sell cigars, same with alcohol, gambling, guns, things like that. It's censored. Well, it's not censored on Rumble. So for the past like 6 to 8 months, or, you know, Crowder's been running he has this ad that runs and it's hilarious. He's dressed up like a Rumble icon, and then he's got somebody from the show that's dressed up like YouTube, and they're kind of going back and forth, and like he ends up beating the guy up, beating the YouTube guy up. And I was like, what if we made that video again? But he also held a cigar, and he said, you know what else isn't allowed on YouTube? Cigars. Me and my cigars are going to be here on Rumble.
Nice.
Buy my favorite cigars right down here. And it's like, it's marrying something that's together where he loves cigars. You can't put him on YouTube, but we got the entire Rumble platform. We can just like do a name, image, likeness campaign with him and plaster it all over the entire platform. And, you know, I called the cigar company. I was like, I got an idea, guys. And like, what if we did that? And he's like, oh my God, you know, this could be amazing, you know? And I'm not a cigar person at all. It's like finding
how to
like integrate it into something that everybody gets excited about. And you know, those don't happen every single time. Sometimes you just got to get on base, but when you can like make that perfect marriage, there's nothing funner in marketing.
I think years ago, PC versus Mac did that, and it was just awesome. Those campaigns were just incredible.
Oh yeah, they were very funny. Okay, yeah. So Elijah, if I'm out there and let's say I'm on the lower end of your $5 to $50 million business, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a $5 million business, never done any advertising, never pushed anything out there. I mean, we have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and we do a crappy job with it because nobody really pays attention to it. What would you say to me if I want to start investing some of our EBITDA into marketing, and it's time for us to take it from 5 to 25? What would be the first and most important thing for us to do?
Well, I mean, it's over the years, like, I've made lots of connections with people just like Dave, where Dave can help in areas that I can't. And I don't ever try to help in an area that I can't, but I try to connect people with those that do. And like we just did, and I'll give you an example. Like, there's a company called Backyard Butchers that they sell all over the country. It's a meat company. And they sell wonderful meat. But now they've really launched the e-commerce side. And so, you know, I'm not their agency, but I can connect them with the people that can help them. And so, like, you know, I helped them connect them to a whole team of, like, okay, you need help with your website. You need help with video production. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And so, like, I've kind of helped assemble a team of, like, this all needs to be done. I'm just going to make sure that the right team's in place and the right things are there so that your marketing can work. I remember years ago, I was working with this is when I first started in local radio in Athens, Georgia. Like, I was working with an HVAC company, and we fixed his website. Like, he bought a new website through us, and it helped his conversions drastically. And he called me one day, and he's just a good old boy. And he said, "Hey, I've been trying to catch sand with pitchforks for a long time, and you handed me a shovel." And I like, nice. I was like, that made me feel good, you know? And so, So anyway, it's just like every single one is different, you know, to answer your question, like every single one's different. And, you know, what I don't try to do is like shotgun you out to everybody. It's like, let's find one area and just own that area. And let's get frequency with this one person. And in this one audience, let's start here. You know, build it. It's going to take, you know, 6 months to a year, and then we can expand. What I don't try to do is I don't try to, like, you know, okay, let's, you know, give me $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, and I'm just going to spend a little everywhere and just see what sticks. You know, it's like, let's find something that best fits that audience or fits your product with that audience, and then just live in that space for a while, own that, and then grow from there.
Joe, how would you answer that question?
I don't know.
You've done it.
I'm buying a damn free ham now. Like, hold on. I gotta put my code in. 717929.
I say you've actually done it. You've taken it from zero to 50.
No, seriously, the damn butcher thing. He got me with Backyard Butchers. I'm using it right now. We don't know these people, but you get 30% off and a free ham.
Yeah.
Your wife's going to love you.
No, I just put my email in, and then shop was confirming. Okay. I'm good. I'm back.
What size ham did you get?
It's actually really good meat. It's amazing.
I'm getting the steakhouse box.
Yeah.
It's good. It's in my shopping cart. I listened. I heard, what was the question, Dave?
I was saying that, you know, this is kind of what rich people do, Elijah. They just buy stuff all the time. They hear it and buy it. We have like budgets over here. We can't just,
while,
you know,
while you're buying stuff, buy some firstcupcoffee.com.
it's open. It well, and luckily you have pods, because
we got pods.
Well, I'm a pod guy, because, you know, I have a friend of mine who is now in the coffee business, and he's doing a really smart thing where he's reaching out to people that he knows and influencers and trying to get their coffee in their hands. Yeah. And he actually sent me a link to get a free coffee, and it's beans. They don't do pods. And like, yeah. I'm not a grinder, right? I mean, not coffee, but so I'm like, I wanted to help him, but I was like, I'm, and then I felt ashamed that like I didn't grind coffee. I actually haven't told him yet, but Dave, what was the actual
question? Was what you asked Elijah, how would you answer it? You've actually gone from zero to 50 million with client, with a business. You know, I don't know, maybe it's different from 5 to 50 than 0 to 50, but how would you answer your own question?
Yeah, I think for us, so I have done the hardest thing to do, which, and this is what we coach our, if I'm coaching an entrepreneur, I actually coach entrepreneurs to get into a medium, find a channel, YouTube, Instagram, whatever, and start watching videos and learn and place your first ads yourself.
Hmm.
And make the creative, place the ads, watch it work, put a little bit more money. It should be your side gig for 3 months. And the amount that you will learn during that time being an entrepreneur who's running a business is, number one, maybe you're not good at it and it's not your gifting, but
you're going to appreciate it.
Oh, and you're going to learn so much. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a couple of guys that was the advice that we gave them, and they did it. They would do it for every channel and blew their business up. It was a $1 million business when we started working with them, and they're now, I don't know, they're a $50-60 million company. And it all started because the guys just, they dug in, man. They one it was two partners, and one of them would literally lock himself in his apartment and not come out for 2 weeks. And he mm-hmm. would just, they would agree, look, go spend $10,000. We've saved up 10 grand. Go spend $10,000 online. And it was like he was, you know, playing a betting platform.
Yeah.
You know, where he just dug in and would be able to come out with some sort of uncommon insight and say, look, if we pumped 100 grand in here, now I've got it figured out to where at least 200 is going to spit out. And that's where as an entrepreneur who doesn't know stuff, who didn't happen to work in an ad agency, like, otherwise you're just trusting people. And mm-hmm. I'm not against trusting people, but like, it's really hard. It's hard when you're taking your baby that you've created and you've chosen not to do it. And anyway, that's where I'd start. Well,
I think what's important too, because I sit in 12 to 15 meetings almost a day, you know, right. Now looking at KPIs and through 38 different clients across the country. And I think what's really interesting about that exercise, Joe, is you really get to see what messaging works and what personas mm-hmm. don't work. And it's just raw. It's just raw. Like, like I always just tell clients now, listen, we're going to have a jumping off point. We're going to A/B test this. But be ready to pivot, because we got to pivot, and you know, you just have to. And so, right. Yeah, we can wrestle with this messaging. We can wrestle with this color and where the call to action should go. And, you know, we can do all this, but guys,
what color is the button? And like, come on.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day
and start playing.
That's right. And it's going to work or it's not. And we've got to change. And so I always say too, like, if you're going to do this exercise, if you're listening, and this has just been my experience, your business when it comes to ads is always a toddler. It never grows up, ever. Mm-hmm. And so it's something, you know, you think about a toddler, and I think about my kids when they were in the Tommy touch all, like just touching everything. Tommy, stop touching stuff, like running around, constant
yeah.
management, right? Of just watching your child. Like, this is your ads. You have to watch them all the time. And I'm not saying make changes all the time. You got to let the algorithm build, but then you got to pivot, and you can't let them go for a month and not watch them. Like, you gotta be in there, or somebody's got to do it if it's not you.
Well, and that, honestly, it's the reason why I don't help people ever with online advertising ever anymore, because I'm out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know it. Like, I can give you concepts,
right?
But like, I'm not going to be that helpful. And you just,
it's ever changing. It changes.
Yeah. Every so much changing. Gosh,
you got to be living it. But if you're spending money on it, then
yeah.
If you want to make it biblical, then, you know, steward over your money because it's not yours.
So, you know, there's a lot of people that do need to work with an ad agency. And because there's a lot of people, there's no shortage of people that want to sell you something, but the majority of those people that are selling, I'd say the large majority, is they've never owned a business before.
Right.
And they just have commission breath and they want to like you to spend money so they can get a percentage of it.
Yeah.
And like those people are like, a lot of them are really good people. It's just like, you know, the Bible says have wisdom and with all that getting, get understanding. And there's very little on my side of the table when I'm working with like working with business owners, like where they actually understand their business and they take a minute to understand the business so that they can like help it ROI. You know, everybody wants to sell ads and they want to, you know, make money and like everybody wants to do that. But
I think too, every agency wants to automate it so they can bring on new clients to make more money. Yeah. And at some point it just backfires. I won't say names here, but like we have not even taken the clients are calling us saying we are so dissatisfied with this current agency. We don't know what they're doing. We can't get a hold of them. These reporting, they just push it out of their Google Analytics. We don't understand them. And I went, like you said, Joe, okay, be mindful, be insightful. This is an opportunity. Yeah, it's going to take us more time. It's not an hour meeting. It's a 2-hour meeting because we got to prepare before. Yeah. Pull the data, understand the data, and meet with the client. And so our retention has gone through the roof because we just care.
Care. That's all you have to do is care.
It's unbelievable. Like, yeah.
And it's like you just treat every dollar as if it was yours. And that's me. It's like owning a business. I feel like it gives me an unfair advantage in the marketplace because, you know, I know what it's like to pay big bills and but I also know what it's like to make sure that your business ROIs and, mm-hmm. and like, you know, hey, you know, has this rep paid $30,000 a month for their mortgage, you know, or $5,000 for their light bill? I have, you know, I do.
Okay. You know, okay. So I'm Elijah, I'm going to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you with purpose. Yeah. So first
he's
of all, we're going to,
he's buying plane. Something.
No, okay. we're going to land this plane because somehow Dave and I turned this podcast into not really a podcast. It's more like a mini series where, you know, they go on for like 4 or 5 hours. Like I've been to a church like this and I didn't go back, but but I'm going to land the plane because I'm actually, Elijah, will you come back?
Mm.
Will you come back and talk to us again? Because here's the topic that I want, because you just hit on the topic. I want, number one, I want to hear the story about like really, I'm being genuine here. I want to hear the story about the coffee business and how it got started and how you've done it. Because like as a listener, I just heard, I'm sorry, the guy owns 3 freaking coffee places and he has an online coffee business and he started the whole thing by saying my side gig. Like people don't understand that, that wouldn't make sense to most human beings. Yeah. They would think that's a whole company but he's telling us about his job. But I would love to hear the story about it, but then I want to hear the story about it to understand exactly what you started to describe. So I want us to do like a pre-first cup Elijah Mayo business guy and a post-first cup Elijah Mayo business guy.
Yeah.
And I would love to do that in our next talk with Elijah because I know from myself, I didn't know shit. Yeah. I didn't know a freaking thing until I failed at my first company. And I was like a consultant. I was a marketing consultant out of grad school. Like, how stupid was that?
Who hired you?
Dude, seriously. I look back on it and I'm like, what in the actual world was going on? But I would love to have that conversation with you, Elijah, if you would come hang out with
us. Let's do it. It's fun. It'd be a blast.
Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, Destiny awaits, but time does not.